Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's go right out to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline where we find an old friend of mine, one of the finest hockey reporters in the country, Mr. Mike Russo of The Athletic. Mike, how are you?
What's up, Starkey? How you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I'm looking around the sports world. We were talking about college sports and college football. What a horrible day it was yesterday for that. And just hoping we get to see some sports. And when it comes to the NHL, I see yesterday the news break that there was a hospital in Edmonton where there was a full facility COVID-19 outbreak where you had 20 patients, 15 staff infected, 3 patients died. Is there any concern within NHL headquarters about the Edmonton hub at this point?
Yeah, I think there's concern until they really get up there and try to pull this off. I think their philosophy all along has always been like it really doesn't matter what's going on down the street as long as their bubble is tight and nobody can get in it and everybody gets in there healthy. But that's easier said than done. As we just saw with Vegas, all of a sudden they had – a major outbreak. Hotel casinos there have staff that was infected, and the reports came on a Monday, and the league completely freaked out and pulled out of Vegas in about 2 hours, and went to Edmonton. Wow. Because they figured that the best way to really pull this off was to get up to Canada and out of the United States. Now, again, this is all easier said than done. Having this tight bubble, I think it's incumbent on the players to be smart. Make sure that they're healthy and getting to this bubble healthy. And that's my only biggest concern is that, like, if you have players in phase three once training camp starts that are still allowed to go about their lives and are still allowed to, you know, go out to restaurants and go out in public and go to bars and things like that, if they get on that plane and show up in these hubs in Toronto and Edmonton and are sick and expose others, you know, there's a chance that there's an outbreak. And, you know, as I think that we all have learned with the science at this point, the test is always 3 to 5 days behind exposure. So in other words, if you're exposed to COVID right today, the chance of you taking a test tomorrow, the next day, and testing positive is very slim. So if you get on that plane, just because you tested negative doesn't mean that the day before, the 2 days before, that you were exposed to this virus and infecting other people. So that to me is the biggest concern. But the theory is that once they're in these bubbles, as long as they're getting tested frequently and everybody's healthy, they can't infect each other.
Speaking of that, we saw in baseball just a disastrous first weekend in terms of test results lagging. And I think it's been said in hockey, Mike, that they want to test every single day. What is the turnaround time that they're looking at for these tests?
Apparently it's going to be like within a day. I mean, that they're going to know the next day, like overnight. And that's one of the stories that we're trying to chase down right now at The Athletic, Joe, is how did they procure 2,000 tests per day? Because remember, this isn't just the 52-person traveling parties getting tested for 24 teams. There's a lot of people that are living in these bubbles, from hotel staff to NHL staff to arena staff, people that are going to be around these players all the time that are going to be also tested daily. And the league's paying for that. So where did they get these tests? How are they testing them? That's stuff that we're trying to chase down right now, because as you just said, I mean, you know, in the United States right now, at least, you know, when you look on the news and you see places like Arizona and Florida, I mean, I saw reports in Arizona over the week that people were standing online in 110 degree weather for hours upon hours to get tested, and it would take 3 to 5 days to get your results. And somehow the NHL is going to do in the qualifying round 20,000 tests. I mean, that's crazy. And so it's going to be, you know, that just shows you how, one, how the cost of this, but two, the logistics of this, how absolutely overbearing it is.
Mike Russo of The Athletic on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. So realizing that things change sometimes dramatically within hours with this whole thing across the country, what would you peg the odds right now, Mike, of a season actually getting off the ground and then of them actually awarding a cup?
You know, I think, let's put it this way, I'm going to couch it. I think that you know, they are fully intending to get this done. They have proven that and proven that and proven that. And I think if they can get to these hubs healthy without an outbreak in training camp that's closing down facilities again that we just saw in phase two in St. Louis and Tampa and Arizona, I think that they're going to get it done. But if all of a sudden, you know, you have multiple teams shutting down facilities in the middle of training camp, and now they've got to get on a plane and fly to these hubs, I think it's going to be very, very difficult for the NHL to put teams that just had a bunch of players that were test positive for COVID into these hub cities. So, I guess what I'm saying is that if they get to these hubs healthy, and then the NHL is really strict about who can enter these hubs, I think that they'll be able to pull it off. I mean, you know, let's put it this way. I think it's a lot more likely because they've gone to Canada than if they had, you know, chosen L.A. or Chicago or Vegas or the Twin Cities of Minnesota, things like that.
You did a great story. I think it was a combination story about what life inside the bubble might look like for the NHL, what they're in control of, whether it's restaurants, things like that. Can you give people sort of an idea of what a day inside the bubble might look like?
It depends, Joe, the way that you look at it. I think the player is going to feel trapped. The NHL is trying to do its best to put the psyches of these players in calm demeanors where they don't feel trapped. And so the way it's explained to me is that they're going to try to build essentially a resort for these players because they don't want them to feel like, for, you know, a team like the Penguins who could go to a Stanley Cup final and be in Toronto and then eventually Edmonton when they move to the conference final and the finals, but be in a hub for 2 months, you know, you don't want these players to go crazy because they feel like they're trapped in their hotel rooms every second. So what they're going to try to do is have multiple activities, gigantic areas for them to essentially, from workout to go to movies to see live music, multiple dining options, not just the restaurants, but food trucks, getting on shuttles. Like in Toronto, if you're in the area there or the 40-acre campus that they're going to have the hub, there's another hub that's going to be at the Royal York Hotel that's got multiple activities and dining options, that there's going to be shuttles that allow you to go there. And the NHL is literally going to own and operate these restaurants. So if your favorite steakhouse, say the hub was in Pittsburgh and your favorite steakhouse was part of this hub, for 2 months, you would not be, as an average citizen, able to go to the steakhouse. It would just be owned and operated by the league. And so that's what they're trying to do. We'll see if they're able to get it done. I think the players still, I know, you know, I cover a very veteran laden team here in Minnesota. A lot of these players are not too fond of this. And again, I mean, not that Minnesota is going to go and be alive for 2 months, but I don't think that a lot of these players want to leave their families for that long. But the NHL's tried to put a compromise in where if you're in the conference finals or the finals, you'll be allowed to bring your families there. And so they're just going to try to create this whole type of resort complex for these players to be in.
Can you believe what we're talking about here?
I mean,
honestly, 3.5 months ago, in one way, it's admirable that the NHL and all these other leagues are going to these lengths. In other ways, it seems surreal. It seems insane. Yeah. All of those feelings are in me right now.
Well, and I'm worried about next season. I mean, you know, selfishly, first of all, I'm really ticked off that we couldn't in the United States get this handled to the point that I could be in Vegas for potentially 2 months. And now it just makes it very difficult for a U.S. reporter to get to Edmonton or Toronto. And, you know, I appreciate The Athletic. They actually called me and asked if I'd be willing to go to Edmonton for 85 days. And I don't think I am. And so I'm not going to get to cover this. But I'm worried about next year because it's very, very clear. Because I hear a lot of fans say to me, why are they even going through this? Let's just start whole in September. The reality is that the NHL is that's not an option. The NHL is trying to push the start of next season back so far that we're getting closer to the fact that at least some fans can be in the building, because it's just not functional for the NHL to run an operation next year where all of a sudden there's no, you know, you cancel this season and there's no fans in the building next year. So they're trying to push it back as far back as possible. But you're right. I mean, the world that we're in right now, you just wonder, you know, I mean, from a selfish point of view as a sports writer, are we ever going to get into a locker room again? Are we ever going to get face-to-face and talk to a player? Because, you know, I feel a lot of the reason why we could do this job well as reporters is because we are able to give the inside access to fans that they can't otherwise get. And that comes with relationship building and talking to guys and not doing every interview on a Zoom. So I'm worried about that. But, you know, from a selfish point of view, too, I want to be in that building. I want fans to be able to enjoy this incredible sport. I want to go to live concerts again. I'd love to get on an airplane without a mask. So to answer your question, yeah, this is very, very surreal, and I cannot believe what the NHL is going to try to do to pull this off. I mean, again, just think of the massive costs here to bring 24 teams worth of traveling parties to two different cities, pay for the hotels, pay for the food, pay for the testing, and not just for them, for you know, hundreds of other people that aren't even involved with the NHL that they're essentially hiring, hotel staff, you know, arena workers that are going to be in these hubs as well. It is just a daunting task. And, you know, I was talking with somebody with the league that is the one that's essentially planning all this a couple days ago, and he was tearing his head out. I mean, the logistics is just overwhelming. And so I really do hope they can pull it off. I'm going to be fascinated to watch what it's going to be like with no fans in the building, what this TV presentation is going to be like. We're going to see camera angles that we've never seen before. I'll be fascinated to see what the intensity level is for these players, because I think that they all get excited by fans in the crowd during the playoffs.
Mike, I know you got to go. I'll leave you on this one. On a personal note, what went into your decision when The Athletic asked you if you wanted to go and spend 85 days in Edmonton covering this, and your decision was that you would not?
I'll be quite honest, and this might sound stupid because it's you know, 60 days I was willing to do, but it's the 14-day quarantine. Like, the rules are unbelievable. Like, you can't leave your hotel room for 14 days. So I would have had to leave in 6 days to satisfy that quarantine. You can't go to the hotel gym. You can't go for a walk. You can't go to the hotel lobby. You can't get housekeeping. People have to leave food at your front door. And if a border agent or whatever the equivalent would be in Canada comes to your door and you're not there, you could theoretically be fined up to $750,000 and spend time in jail. So I just don't think that I'd be able to handle that. And Joe, you know me very well. I mean, you know how much I absolutely love the sport and want to be in that building. But the other big thing is the no access. Like, we are getting no access. So if you're in that crowd, the only thing I'm going to get to do is tweet out goals before everybody at home knows they scored, right? I'm going to cover the game, and then I'm going to have to get on the same Zoom call that every single media member on their couch is going to get on. So, you know, if you had the run of the Edmonton Arena, Joe, and if I had to do a story on the Colorado Avalanche and could run into Joe Sakic or Nathan MacKinnon and do a face-to-face, that makes all the difference, and I would have done it in a nanosecond. But the fact that, you know, I'm going to be in the building and be say, hey, do you mind doing a story on the, you know, on the Colorado Avalanche or the Vancouver Canucks, and I'm going to have to just get those guys on the phone, I can do that from my house. So, you know, it's a tough decision. I know that if I continue with this decision, I have a couple days to make up my mind. I know that if I'm watching those games on my couch for 80 days, I'm going to be completely disappointed and probably second-guessing myself, but it just seems like quite the ordeal to not get any access.
Mike, I appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining me.
Yep, no problem, Joe. See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.